Morning Show at East Coast FM. Now after Thursday's primetime programme, organ retention is back in the news again. And we're going to hear from Chelsea Brereton. Chelsea Brereton and Jamie Dunn, a couple who live in Salins, County Kildare, in late 2019, they discovered they were expecting their first baby. On the 16th of April 2020, Chelsea delivered a stillborn baby boy that she and Jamie named Mason. Chelsea and Jamie were supportive of a postmortem so they could find out why baby Mason had died, but they were totally opposed to any organ retention, and they had this particular issue because Jamie's mother had already been affected by Ireland's previous organ retention scandal following the stillbirth of their baby daughter Niamh in 1995. So after the postmortem, baby Mason's body was returned to Chelsea and Jamie, and after the funeral, Chelsea and Jamie waited for the postmortem results, making countless calls looking for an update, but weeks turned into months. In November 2021, 19 months after baby Mason's death, they eventually received the postmortem report, but Chelsea and Jamie's trauma, it didn't end there, because in December 2021, almost 2 years after baby Mason's death, Chelsea got an unexpected call from Portlaoise Hospital informing her that Mason's brain, left lung and intestines had been retained without their knowledge. On Christmas week, they collected the organs and held a second funeral. And Chelsea and Jamie are now sharing their story so that they hope to campaign that this never happens to any other family. And Chelsea joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Chelsea.
Good morning.
Good morning. That is so appalling. Where are we at now?
I don't even know, you know. We're telling our story and we're just hoping that it gets to a government level so that, unlike years ago when all this was brought to light, nothing was done about it. It's 30 years later. It's still happening. It's not okay. You know, the pain and trauma of losing a child is indescribable. But finding out that pieces of your child were kept without your knowledge and without your consent, like, it shouldn't be happening in this day and age, and it needs to stop. Like, no other family should ever, ever have to go through what me and countless other families have gone through.
And in looking for the postmortem and making your wishes clear about organ retention, in what way does the process actually work? How do you inform the authorities, basically, that you don't want this to happen?
After we lost Mason, he was born on the 16th of April. And as far as my knowledge remembers, it was the next day that the bereavement team came and spoke to us about a postmortem. She initially set it off with that we don't actually have a choice because it's a coroner's report, because his death was somewhat unexpected. But we were in favour of that because, you know, we wanted answers and we wanted to make sure, you know, it's nothing genetic that would, like, you know, cause issues with further pregnancies. You know, we were completely in favour of this. But we had the chat with Jamie's parents, you know, about the organ retention and stuff that they had experienced with their daughter Niamh back in the 90s. Because they wanted to make us aware of everything, and they told us what they went through and how they went through it, just so we could make informed decisions and we were filling out these forms. So when it came to the organ retention, you know, I was saying, no, absolutely not. And, you know, she was going through all these different forms and she's like, yeah, we'll get the organ retention now in a minute and I'll explain everything. I was like, yep, that's perfect. So when we got to the organ retention part, she was talking like, you know, they can take samples and slides for stuff, but then she was saying they can take whole organs, and I was like, no, absolutely not, no. If they were taking his organs to go, like, to a live donor, you know, like organ donation, absolutely, yeah. But organ retention where they're just going to be sitting in a jar on a shelf, no. Because that means a second burial, and we were like, no, we don't want that. We can't emotionally and mentally go through that. No, absolutely not. So we kept telling them over and over, I do not consent, I do not consent. And she's like, do you want me to write a note on this? I said, yes, write absolutely everywhere. I even put a post-it note, put everything highlighted. I said, we do not want organ retention. Anything he goes with, we want back. So he went for his post-mortem then, and he went early in the morning. He left about 7 o'clock in the morning. And 7 o'clock that evening, we went back to collect him. And, you know, they laid his little body on the bed. And they had the coffin there as well. And they were saying, you know, they were going through the incisions and stuff, saying, you know, this was done and this was done. I was like, okay, yeah, okay. You know, it was extremely difficult in the time, but I remember looking at it and I said, everything's there. And she said, oh yeah, absolutely. I said, they didn't retain anything. They didn't take it out. She said they would have had to remove his organs to examine them, but everything was put back. There's nothing on the forms here. Nothing was retained. Everything's there. It's okay. I was like, okay, so I don't have to do it. And she's like, nope. He is as he was. You know, if you just have to bury him the once. There's nothing taken. So we took her at face value.
Yeah,
we never questioned it. You know, she was a doctor. You know, she was a nurse. She was a bereavement nurse. And there was, like, a doctor presence. There was a midwife presence. You know, I'm taking these medical professionals at face value because, you know, I had faith in our health system, but...
And the documentation that they had presumably didn't mention organ retention, so they were going at face value too, I expect.
Yeah, as far as I know, the hospital wasn't actually aware of the organ retention because the forms. But the forms that I was actually given, I only found out recently, was for a hospital postmortem, which is very different to a coroner's postmortem in that when a postmortem is carried out by the hospital, they do need to request permission, etc., for organ retention, which obviously we decline. But with a coroner's postmortem, they can, but they're meant to, like, you know, tell you how long they're going to have them, make you aware. You know, we were meant to be told, this is what was kept, this is why it was kept, this is how long we plan to keep it for. But we were told nothing of that. Absolutely no communication of that whatsoever. So, you know, we were just, you know, going along with, okay, everything that he went with, he came back with. Because we had no reason at the time to question it.
Right. And then, you know, you got this phone call from Portlaoise Hospital. And how did that come about? Did Portlaoise discover that what happened in the coroner's inquest, post-mortem, was not exactly what they were led to believe during their post-mortem initially?
So I received the post-mortem result 19 months after his death, which that alone is absolutely appalling.
And which post-mortem was that?
There was only one post-mortem done. It was a coroner's post-mortem, but the request forms that I filled out was for a hospital.
For the hospital. Okay. So that wasn't carried out. It was only one postmortem. That was the coroner's one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they gave me the wrong permission slip that we were signing. But when I got the autopsy report 19 months after my son's death, first of all, no one was there to explain what it was, what anything meant. So there was a lot of medical terms that we didn't understand. We had no idea what anything meant. And we were offered no support from the hospital, from the HSC, nothing. But at the time, I was actually expecting my daughter. So we were going up and down. Now, we went to a different hospital on my daughter. We went to Hollis Street. And I brought the forms with me, the autopsy report. And I went in for a scan one day and I happened to bring them with me and I said, is there any chance, if you don't mind reading this, can you actually explain to me what some of this stuff is? Now, thankfully, the sonographer, she was absolutely lovely. She sat me down, she went through everything, she got the consultants informed as well. So we had to look for our own kind of support. And so we were relying on them and relying on Google, which was just appalling.
Yeah.
But we went through every single word on that sheet and nothing was mentioned about organ retention. It's not mentioned. There's no documentation about it. So, again, we didn't question it. So it was coming up to Christmas then. I got them results in November, but it was coming up to Christmas. And I remember my partner had just left for work and I was pregnant on one of my daughters. My other daughter was about 5 or 6 months at the time. So my auntie was taking her out for a girls' day shopping. give me a break in that. And I was doing a few bits for Christmas. And I just got a phone call from Port Leash, and I was like, oh, hello. Who's this? I didn't recognise the number. And they were like, oh, we're looking for Chelsea Pearson. We have your son's organs here on a shelf here to collect if you want. They're boxed up. I was like, excuse me? Sorry? She said, yeah, we have your son's organs here. I was like, no. I think you have the wrong number. We actually never had organs retained. And she was like, Chelsea Pearson. I said, yeah. She said, Mason's mammy. I said, yeah. She said, yeah, you did have organs retained. I said, no. No, we didn't. And so, I just took into a fit, scream and cry, and I was like, no, what do you mean? She said, oh, there's just a box here, and it has his name on it. And I said, what's inside the box? And she said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? She said, there's meant to be paperwork to tell us the organs were retained. There's no paperwork. There's meant to be paperwork to tell us what's in the box, but there's nothing. There's literally nothing. It's just a box with his name. And I was like, oh, my God, no, this is some sort of sick twisted joke. Like, no, this can't be happening. I said, how do I find out what was taken? She said, well, it could be samples and slides, or it could be whole organs. We don't know. So I was trying to, keep positive and think, maybe it's just a few samples that they took, we said no to the organ retention, so surely not. So she had to go and actually ring the pathologist himself, Dr. John Gillen. She had to ring him directly because he didn't bother to do the paperwork to actually let us know what was in the box.
Well, we don't know, but he might have, they might have been misplaced or filed elsewhere, but continue.
Yeah, but there was no paperwork, which, should have been made available to us at the first phone call, but no, it was three or four phone calls later that we finally able to find out that his brain, his left lung, and his intestines were taken.
And retained.
And no explanation why.
So, to take that in, having specifically requested that this wouldn't happen, and here you were caught off guard in a way, just a peaceful moment when you're at home, the phone call comes in, and this devastating news. It's probably like, I don't know, but is it like, reopening all that you've gone through already with Mason?
I remember when we first lost him, it felt like someone had literally reached into my chest and ripped my heart out. But finding out this was so much worse. I literally could feel my entire body. It was like I was being crushed with the weight of this knowledge. It was absolutely the most traumatic experience I've had in my life. And it was coming up to Christmas, and it was my first Christmas with my live child. So it was meant to be a time of happiness. Excitement, we're finally starting to move on. We're starting to deal with this grief, and we're just knocked back a million times worse than what we were.
And then you have to arrange a second funeral.
Yeah. We had to go and collect his organs, and we collected them the week of Christmas, 5 days before Christmas. But that wasn't even the worst part. When we went in to collect his organs, they were in a little box, but on the box was the wrong name. He was born as Mason Dunn. On his, all his forms is Mason Dunn. On his headstone is Mason Dunn. And on the coffin with his organs was Mason Brereton. It was the wrong surname, and I said, why is his name different? They said, you're not married. And I was like, how does my marital status affect his name? His name is not Brereton. They said, well, you're not married, so you don't get a choice. If you want to change, you'll have to wait a minimum of 6 weeks. And I was like, I can't leave my baby here any longer, He's been here for 20 months already. I have to bring him home. I have to reunite him with the rest of them. So my baby is in two different boxes with two different names, which just adds to my trauma and pain.
Yeah. So Where do you go next, Chelsea? How do you reconcile this?
I don't even know, you know. It's a pain that I can't describe. Mentally, I don't think I'll ever recover from it. Emotionally too, but what me and what the other mummies that feature on the RTE programme, all we want is for the legislation to be brought in, the human tissue bill, so that no other family has to feel this. No other family is kept in the dark about what is being done to their child's body. We don't want other people to keep going through this. I've seen firsthand what it's done to my mother-in-law and how she is still so raw from the pain of it. And knowing that that's what's in store for us as well, you know, it's a pain that needs to stop. And so we want to bring this to the government level. We want this to be spoken out in the Dáil. We want people to help us and, you know, band together with us to get this brought in so we can stop it now, because 30 years later, nothing has changed. And, you know, this day and age, you know, a lot can be done. You know, during the COVID, they were well able to bring in these very, very quick legislations when they needed to shut things down or talking about what time the bar opens and closes at. This is a lot more important. You know, if they can work at a timely fashion for that, surely they can work at a timely fashion for this.
Right. Thanks for sharing that, Chelsea. In regards to Jamie, how is he taking all this himself?
He's very much the same, you know, a lot of pain, but also a lot of anger. You know, it was our first baby, our little boy, and, you know, Jamie is football mad. So, you know, when we were expecting, you know, we had all football jerseys, little football stuff, you know, it was going to be daddy's little man. And, yeah, to deal with all this grief on top of that now. We've been supporting each other, but, you know, it's not something that's very easy to get over.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I know by sharing it as well of your campaign, you're actually, to a lot of degree, reliving it. And I'm sure that's painful too. So you're very good to share that for us this morning.
Thank you.
Keep us informed of any developments on this, and best of luck with your campaign as well.
Thank you.